بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, this is our session number 6, a review session number 6, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 3, Level 3, Dr. Fahd Abdurrahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Okay, so today, inshallah, as you should know, that today we are expecting to do a review of two chapters, chapter 9 and chapter 10. Chapter 10 is just really mainly dealing with some details related to the Arabic sentences, the nominal and verbal sentences. Primarily, that's the core of the lesson. Exercise 9 has several points. Yani, there's 6 points. None of them are really, really very detailed points. But in any case, we're going to try to cover all of them. We're going to look at the English key, as we've been doing in the past, the previous review sessions. We're going to look at the English key, and we're going to look at if there's an Arabic text, any Arabic explanation, we're going to look at that as well. Okay, so we're going to look at the English key, then we'll look at the Arabic explanation for each point as we go through these 6 points. Okay, so let's start with lesson number 9, English key, page 35. It says halfway down the page, lesson 9, in this lesson we learn the following. Number 1. Okay, so we're dealing with the first point of the English key for lesson number 9. The omission of the noon of the dual and the sound masculine plural. You have seen in book 1 that a noun loses its tanween when it becomes mudaf. Yani, when a word is used in an idafa construction, the mudaf, the first part of the idafa construction, we learned in book 1 that when we connect these two words in idafa, the mudaf, if it had tanween, it loses its tanween. For example, the word kitabun, a book, if we put it in an idafa construction, the book of Hamid, or Hamid's book, we say Kitabu Hamidin. Mudaf, mudaf ilayhi. The mudaf loses its tanween. We don't say Kitabun Hamidin, but rather we say Kitabu Hamidin, meaning the mudaf loses its tanween. In the same way, the noon of the dual muthanna word and the sound masculine plural, Jam Mudhakkar Salim, in the same way as we saw that a mufrad word loses its tanween, so a muthanna and a jam mudhakkar salim, they also lose the noon that is at the end of those types of words when they are mudaf. In the same way, the noon of the dual and sound masculine plural is also omitted when they happen to be mudaf. So for example, an example of the dual losing its noon, you know that the dual, the form, the wazn, the pattern of the dual is that it ends with noon. So it's either, for example, like here, Aina al-bintan. So bint is the singular, bintan or bintain is the dual, and you see that in each case it has the noon on the end. That noon is going to be deleted if it's used in an idafa construction as the first part of the idafa construction, the mudaf. And if the first part is mudaf, second part is mudafun ilayhi. And we said that in the rules of idafa that the mudaf never takes alif lam or tanween. So, yani, if a word has tanween, it loses its tanween, and that's in words that have tanween. But now we're saying that even with the dual, if it is mudaf, it also loses its noon. It loses the noon. And likewise, the sound masculine plural, as in muslimuna or mu'minuna, yani, is also going to lose its noon. So the example they gave us for the marfu'un case in the dual, Aina al-bintan, where are the two daughters? In idafa, Aina binta Bilalin, Aina binta Bilalin, where are Bilal's two daughters? Here we see that bintan, because it's mudaf, and it loses the noon at the end of the word bintan. The noon is deleted, became binta bilalin. Because it's mudaf, it loses its noon. Now, Another example of the dual Muthanna word losing its noon is a mansub case. Ra'aytu al-bintayni. I saw the two daughters. Here in Idalfa, Ra'aytu bintay Bilalin. I saw Bilal's two daughters, or the two daughters of Bilal. Here we see that bintayn is the object of the verb Ra'aytu al-bintayn. So instead of bintan, it became bintayn. When it's mansub or majroor, yani bintan becomes bintayn. Kitaban becomes kitabain. But in either case, when it's used as a mudaf, the first part of an idafa construction, it loses its noon. So you see, ra'aytu bintay, not bintayn, bintay bilalin. And another example, a third example, when it is majroor, abhathu an al bintayn. I am searching for the two daughters. In idafa, abhathu an bintay Bilalin. I am looking for, searching for the two daughters of Bilal, or Bilal's two daughters. Again, yani bintan became binta Bilalin, and bintain became bintay Bilalin when it's mansub or majroor. So, in summary, yani the muthanna word that normally ends with noon, yani either alif noon or ya noon, kitaban, kitabain, shajaratan, shajaratain. It's going to end with noon, preceded by aleph or preceded by ya. So the noon that follows the aleph or the ya is deleted when it is used as the first part of an idafa construction. Okay, the same rule applies to, again, the masculine sound plural. Jam al-mudhakkar as-salim. The masculine sound plural. So we have, for example, ja'a al-mudarrisun. Yani, the teachers came. Now when we use al-mudarrisuna in idafa, ja'a mudarrisu al-hadithi. The teachers of hadith came. The teachers of hadith came. Mudarrisu is originally mudarrisuna, but because it's a mudaf, the first part of an idafa construction, it loses its noon. So you say ja'a mudarrisu al-hadithi. Turn to the next page, 36. Continuation here. That was the marfu'un form of mudarrisuna. Now we see that when it is mansub, it became mudarrisina. So, sa'altu al-mudarrisina. I asked the teachers. In idafa, mudarrisina loses its noon. It became sa'altu mudarrisi al-hadithi. I asked the teachers of hadith. Mudarrisi, originally mudarrisina loses its noon. In the majroor case, salamtu ala al-mudarrisina. Yani I gave salams to the teachers. When we take mudarrisina and put it as a mudaf, it loses its noon. It became salamtu ala mudarrisi al-hadithi. Salamtu ala mudarrisi al-hadithi. And of course, from the rules that we learned when we were learning the alphabets, right, that the long vowel in mudarrisi, when it is connected to hamzatul wasl, as in alif lam or other than that, yani it's pronounced as a short vowel. So we don't say salamtu ala mudarrisi al-hadithi, we say mudarrisi al-hadithi, as though it's a short vowel, because it's followed by hamzatul wasl. Salamtu ala mudarrisi al-hadithi. I'm emphasizing the long vowel just so that we can hear the original sound of the word mudarrisi was originally mudarrisina. I greeted the teachers or gave salams to the teachers of hadith. Okay, this is what is explained concerning the deletion of the noon from the muthanna dual words and the jam mudhakkar salam sound masculine plural words. And we see this in the Arabic text. Yani, there's not a lot of explanation, but on page 76 of the Arabic text, exercise number 2, it says ta'ammal ma yali, and it shows us how the tanween we learned before is deleted from idafa. So it says alif hadha kitabun, this is a book. But when we put kitabun in idafa, it loses its tanween, it became hadha kitabullahi. So here they said what? Yuhdhafu at-tanweenu inda al-idafa. Yani the tanween of a word that has tanween loses its tanween. It's omitted. It's deleted عند الإضافة, when it is used as a مضاف and an إضافة construction. Then it has باء, يعني the مثنى word, أين البنتان. When it's used in إضافة, we see it became أين بنتا, instead of بنتان became بنتا حامد. And if we turn the page, then we find that they gave us another example. Yani when it's mansub, ra'aytu bintaini, on the top of page 77, ra'aytu bintaini, I saw the two girls, daughters. Ra'aytu bintay, when it's used as a mudaf, hamidin. Ra'aytu bintay hamidin, yani I saw the two daughters of hamidin. And then the next example they gave us, or next two examples, are for the sound masculine plural, and we see that the noon is also deleted. When it is marfoon or mansoob or majroor, ja'a al-mudarrisuna, yani when mudarrisuna is used in idafa, ja'a mudarrisu al-fiqhi, the teachers of fiqh came, and abhathu an al-mudarrisina, I'm searching or looking for the teachers. Mudarrisina, when it's used in idafa, abhathu an mudarrisi al-fiqhi, I'm searching for the teachers of fiqh. And the note here with these examples for the Muthanna and the Jam Muthakir Salim says, تُحْذَفُ نُونُ الْمُثَنَّ وَنُونُ الْجَمْعُ الْمُذَكِّرْ سَالِمْ عِنْدَ الْإِضَافَةِ. تُحْذَفُ نُونَ الْمُثَنَّ, the noon of the Muthanna word is deleted, it's omitted. And the noon of the Jam Muthakir Salim also is deleted عِنْدَ الْإِضَافَةِ. That's the rule, yani, that we're looking at here for the first point of this lesson, number 9. The first point is that the noon is deleted in Muthanna words and Jam Muthakkir Salim, sound masculine plural words, when they are used in Idalfa. Okay, after this, the next point of the English key, page 36, point number 2. Page 36, point number 2 says, we have learnt in book 1 that the dual of hadha is hadhani, and the dual of hadhihi is hatani. Yani hadha and hadhihi, their duals are hadhani and hatani. For example, hadhani masjidani, these are two masjids. Yani these two things, these two places that I'm pointing to, these two buildings that I'm pointing to, hadhani dual, masjidani are two masjids. Hatani madrasatani, these two that I'm pointing to, feminine things, madrasatani, are two schools. Now we learn that the dual of dhalika, yani we learn the dual of hadha and hadhi, pointing to things which are near, masculine and feminine. Now we're learning the dual of dhalika and tilka, pointing to things which are far. Ism ishara lil ba'id. Dhalika, the dual of dhalika is dhanika. And the dual of tilka is tanika. So, yani the thou from thalika is retained here, you say thanika. And the ta of tilka is retained here, you say tanika. Thanika and tanika. Thanika, yani dual of thalika. Tanika, the dual of tilka. So, for example, you say, yani for things which are masculine, dual, near and far, hadhani mudarrisani, these are two teachers. وَذَانِكَ dual, ذَانِكَ طَالِبَانِ, and those are two students. For feminine things which are far, not near, you say يعني هَاتَانِ طَبِيبَتَانِ, these are two lady or female doctors. وَتَانِكَ يعني this is the dual of تِلْكَ, تَانِكَ مُمَرِّضَتَانِ, and those are two nurses. Alright, so the point here is what? That we learn the duals for the ism ishara for things which are near, hadha and hadhihi, their duals being hadhani and hatani. Now we're learning the duals for the ism ishara for things which are far, dhalika and tilka, and their duals are dhanika and tanika. Here also note, before we end this point, in the nasb and jar cases, they become Yani thanika becomes thanika, and tanika becomes tanika. For example, ifta thanika al-babani, open those two doors. Yani fadhalika thanika. Yani the plural, the dual of thalika is thanika, but here because it's the object of the verb, it became mansub, so it's thanika. Ifta thanika al-babaini. Watainika an-nafidhataini, and those two windows. Open those two doors and open those two windows. Tainika, yani being the mansub form of tanika, and tanika being the dual of tilka. The next example that they gave us is man yaskun fi tainika al-villataini, who lives in those two villas. Al-villa, yani means yani a big house, yani with space around it and so on, closed off probably with a wall like this. Man yaskunu fi tainika, yani this is the majrur form of tanika, tainika. So when it's majrur or mansub, tanika becomes tainika. Tanika being the dual of tilka. Okay, as far as the Arabic text here, we see on page 12, exercise 12, page 82. Exercise 12, page 82. There's no explanation given here, but it's just yani examples of the use of the Asma al-Ishara for things which are near masculine and feminine, and things which are far masculine and feminine. So we have, for things which are near, هذا كتابٌ, and feminine, هذه سيارةٌ. For things which are far masculine, ذلك قلمٌ, and for things which are far feminine, تلك مدرسةٌ. So across from each of these, هذا and هذه, and ذلك and تلك, which we learned in book one, we have their duals, هذا كتابٌ, dual, هذان كتابان, هذه سيارة, dual, هاتان سيارتان, ذلك قلم, dual, ذانك قلمان, تلك مدرسة, dual, تانك مدرستان. Alright, so the dual for هذا is هذان, for هذه هاتان, for ذلك ذانك, and for تلك تانك, and of course, yani, if they are majrur or mansub, we see thanika becoming thanika, and tanika tainika, and hatani become hataini, and hathani becoming hathaini. Alright, the next point is point number 3 from the English key, page 36, the bottom half of the page. It says kila means both. The word kila means both, and its feminine is kilta. So kila and kilta, each of them, the meaning of each of these two words is the same. It means both. Kila for masculine, kilta for feminine. The rule is that these are always mudaf, and the mudaf ilayhi is muthanna. This is the rule that we need to learn, that these two words, kila and kilta, are always used in idafa. They are always the first part of an idafa construction, and their mudaf ilayhi, the second part of the idafa construction, is always going to be muthanna. And we'll see also that even though the mudaf ilayhi is muthanna, mostly these words are treated as though they are singular. Even though, yani, the meaning, both, the meaning is, yani, dual, but they are mostly treated as though they are singular. Though they can be treated as though they are plural, dual, but mostly they're treated as though they're singular. So try to keep in mind here, right, that the meaning of kila and kilta is both. They're always used in idafa. The mudaf ilayh is going to be muthanna, dual, but the word kila and the word kilta is mostly treated as though it's singular, meaning its predicate, its khabar, is going to be singular most of the time. The predicate for it is going to be singular, even though the mudaf ilayhi is dual. Okay, let's see some examples of this, that these words are always used in idafa, and the mudaf ilayhi is muthanna, it's going to be dual. For example, kila al-talibaini. Here, yani, it's used in idafa, kila al-talibaini, and the mudaf ilayhi is dual, talibaini. Yani talibaini is mudafun ilayhi, majrur, and therefore talibani becomes talibaini. Kila talibaini fil mattabati. Both the students, both of the students are in the library. Feminine, kilta sayyarataini amama albayti. Both cars, both of the cars are in front of the house. Again, kilta is used as a mudaf. Its mudaf ilayhi is dual sayyarataini, because it's mudaf ilayhi majrur. Yani sayyaratani became sayyarataini. Kilta as-sayyarataini amam al-bayt. Naam. Then there's a note here, it says kila and kilta are treated as singular words. Yani generally, mostly they are treated as though they are singular, so their predicate, their khabar, is going to be singular. That's the point I want to make. The mudaf ilayhi is always going to be dual, but the predicate, yani the khabar, is mostly going to be mufrad, singular. Please make a note of this. Kila and kilta, always use an idafa. The mudaf ilayhi is going to be muthanna, dual, but their khabar is mostly going to be mufrad, singular. For example, kila talibaini, both of the students, takharraja, passed out or graduated. Takharraja, both of the students have passed out or graduated. Not takharraja. We're not using the dual form of the verb, because kila is generally mostly treated as though it's singular. Both of the students have graduated. Feminine example, kilta as-sa'ataini jamilatun. Both of the watches are beautiful. Yani kilta as-sa'ataini jamilatun, not jamilatani. Yani the khabar is not going to be, most of the time, is not going to be dual. It's going to be singular. So what we're saying is that kila and kilta are, for the most part, mostly, the majority of the times, are treated as though they are singular, and therefore their khabar, their predicate, is going to be singular, even though their mudaf ilayhi is dual. In the Quran, we have in the 18th surah, 33rd ayat, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم kilta al-jannataini. Here it's used in idafa. The mudaf ilayhi is yani dual. Jannataini, mudaf ilayhi, majrur. Kilta al-jannataini atat uqulaha. Atat is singular. Yani both the gardens, kilta al-jannataini, brought forth their produce. Yani, so we're saying here that kilta and kila are mostly treated as though they are singular, and therefore their khabar is mostly going to be singular. Turn to the next page to complete the discussion concerning this. Masculine example. Here now, this is a new point. Yani this is the use of kila and kilta with a pronoun. Kila, kilana, masrurun. Both of us, yani, are happy. So here we see that kila is used in idafa. However, the khabar is singular. Masrurun. Both of us are masrurun, not masrurani. Then they have a note here that says what? Kila and kilta remain unchanged. And they remain as kila and kilta in nasb and jar cases if the mudaf ilayhi is a noun. If the mudaf ilayhi is a noun. So kila and kilta always use an idafa, right? And the mudaf ilayhi is going to be dual, and it's going to be mudaf ilayhi majrur, right? But kila and kilta itself, if they are in the position where they should be, mansub or majrur, they do not change as long as their mudaf ilayhi is a noun. However, we'll see after the examples that they give us here, if the mudaf ilayhi is a pronoun, then kila and kilta change to kila and kilte. Let's take it step by step, right? And let's start one more time. Kilta and kila remain unchanged in nasb and jar cases when they're in the position where they should be, mansub and majrur. If They remain unchanged if the mudhaf ilayhi is a noun. In the previous examples, the mudhaf ilayhi has been a noun. But now we want to look at what if the mudhaf ilayhi is a pronoun, okay? So they remain unchanged if the mudhaf ilayhi is a noun. For example, a'rifu kila ar-rajulayni. I know both the men. Here, kila is the object of the verb. So it's in the position where it should be mansub. But it didn't change from kila to kilay. Because why? Because its mudhaf ilayhi is a noun. So when the mudhaf ilayhi for kila and kilta is a noun, even though kila or kilta might be in the position where it should be mansub, it doesn't change. It doesn't change from kila to kilay or kilta to kiltay. When does it not change? When the mudhaf ilayhi is a noun. Second example he gave us. Bahathtu an kila ar-rajulayni. I searched for both of the men. Here in this case, kila is the object of the preposition an. And therefore it's in the position where it should be majroor. But it doesn't change from kila to kilay. And kilta wouldn't have changed from kilta to kiltay as long as the mudhaf ilayhi is a noun. But, next sentence, but they are declined like muthanna. They are declined like the muthanna from kila to kilay. From kilta to kiltay, like baytan or bintan to bintain, and shajaratan to shajaratain, when it's mansub and majroor. So likewise, kila and kilta, they are declined, like the muthanna. They do change from kila to kilay, and kilta to kiltay, if the mudhaf ilayhi is a pronoun. For example, ra'aytu kilayhima, I saw both of them. In this case, the mudhaf ilayhi is a pronoun. Hima, yani originally huma. Since the mudhaf ilayhi is a pronoun, kila became, yani declined, like a dual word. It changed from kila to kilay, like baytan to baytain. Alright, I saw both of them. The same thing for kilta. Sa'altu kiltayhima. Oh, let's look at the question first. Man sa'alti, who did you ask? Zainaba. Am Aminata. Who did you ask? Zainab or Amina? And the answer, Sa'altu kiltayhima. I asked both of them. Here we see that kiltayhima, it's the object of the verb. Sa'altu, it's mansub. And it changes from kilta to kiltay. Why? Because its mudhaf ilayhi is a pronoun. So what's the rule here? Yani kila and kilta, when they're in the position of being mansub or majroor, they remain unchanged if the mudhaf ilayhi is a noun, clear noun, but they do decline and they change from kila to kilay and kilta to kiltay if their mudhaf ilayhi is a pronoun. So what we're looking at here, we're looking at kila and kilta. If the mudhaf ilayhi is a noun, they don't change because of their position of being mansub or majroor. But if it's a pronoun, then they change. Then they change, yani, and they are declined like dual words. And they change from kila to kilay and kilta to kiltay. So they said here, yani, bahathtu, in the same way, bahathtu an kilayhima or an kiltayhima. I looked for both of them. Yani, meaning that when the mudhaf ilayhi is a pronoun, then kila becomes kilay and kilta becomes kiltay, just like any other muthanna or dual word. Alright, after this we want to look at what? We'll look at the Arabic text, exercise 10 and the note for 11 on page 80 and 81. So page 80. On page 80 we see not a lot of explanation, but just some examples for kila and kilta. It says, تأمل الأمثلة الآتية لكلا and كلتا. The question, Aleph, أين أخواك? أخواك is really أخوان, but because أخوا is a dual word, remember we said in this lesson that when the dual word is an idhafa, as a mudhaf, it loses its noon. So akhawan becomes akhawaka. Aina akhawaka? Kilahuma fi Dimashq. Both of them are in Damascus. This is marfoon. Kilahuma fi Dimashq. But if it became mansub, then we see kila changing to kilay because it's mansub and its mudaf ilayhi is a pronoun. Ara'ayta al-mudarrisayni? Have you seen the two teachers? Here, mudarrisayni is the maf'ulun bi, so it's mansub. So we see mudarrisani becoming mudarrisayni. Na'am, ra'aytu kilayhima. Here, yani kilayhima, yani it changed from kila, as in the previous example, kilahuma fi Dimash, to kilayhima, yani changed from kila to kilay, because the mudaf ilayhi is a pronoun, and when the mudaf ilayhi for kila and kilta is a pronoun, then it is declined, like a dual word, kila becomes kilay, and kilta becomes kiltay, as we see in ba, the next two sentences. Aina at-talibatani al-jadidatani, where are the two new students? Kiltahuma, here it's marfu'un, right? Because it's the mubtada. Kiltahuma inda al-mudirati, both of them are with the mudira. So kilta, it's marfu'un, so it remains yani in its position, even though the mudaf ilayhi is a pronoun, but it's marfu'un. So kilta is the marfu'un form, kiltay is the mansub and majrur form. Ayyi suratayni hafizta, which two surahs did you memorize? Here, yani suratayni is the maf'ulun bi mansub of hafizta. Hafizta suratayni. The answer, hafiztu kiltayhima. Here, kiltay is the object of the verb hafiztu, so it's mansub, and because it's mudaf ilayhi is a pronoun, it is declined like a dual word. So kilta becomes kiltay, just like kila became kilay when it is mansub or majrur and its mudaf ilayhi is a pronoun. If its mudaf ilayhi is a clear noun, then it doesn't change no matter what position it's in, marfu'un, mansub, or majrur. It doesn't change if the mudaf ilayhi is a noun. If it's a pronoun, then it is declined, yani it changes from when it's marfu'un to kila and kilta to when it's mansub or majrur to kilay and kiltay. Naam. Also on the next page, a note to exercise number 11 says, and this is part of this particular point, kila, the bottom of page 81, the note at the end of exercise number 11 says, kila wa kilta ismani lafdhuhuma mufradun ma'anahuma muthanna wa mura'atu al-lafdhi aktharu. Kila and kilta are two nouns. Isman, lafdhuhuma, their expression, the wording is mufrad. Yani, the wording, the lafdh is mufrad, wa ma'anahuma muthanna, but its meaning is muthanna. So it's a mufrad word, but the meaning of it, both. Yani, both means two things, right? So the meaning of it is muthanna, but the wording itself is not a muthanna word. Yani, kila and kilta, yani, are mufrad in terms of their love, their expression, but their meaning are dual. Wa mura'atu al-lafdh, yani, paying attention to the love, the expression, being mufrad, is akthar. Yani, so mostly, yani, it's going to be treated, because its love is mufrad, mostly it's going to be treated as though it's mufrad, singular, and so its khabar is going to be singular, most of the time. Yani, mura'atu al-lafdhi akthar. Yani, mostly, most of the time, it's going to be treated as though it's mufrad, even though its meaning is muthanna. So in some cases it could be also treated as muthanna, but mostly it's going to be treated as though singular, and therefore we have kilahuma jadidun, both of them are new. So kila is lafdhuhu is mufrad, so it's khabar, jadid is mufrad, singular. Kiltahuma mujtahidatun, both of them are mujtahid. Kilta, its lafdh is mufrad, so the khabar is mufrad, singular. يجوز مراعة معناهما, but it is permissible to look at and give attention to its meaning. The meaning is dual, so it's permissible to treat it as though it's dual as well. For example, and it's not written here, I just made my own examples up. For example, you could say كلاهما جديدان, Now, you can say kilahuma jadidani. Both of them are new. Jadidani. Although mostly you would say kilahuma jadidun, but it's permissible to say kilahuma jadidani. And the same way, kiltahuma mujtahidatun, is permissible to consider, to look at, to give attention to their meaning. The meaning of these words are muthanna, so it's permissible to treat it as though it's a dual and make its khabar dual. So you could say, instead of kiltahuma mujtahidatun, singular, you can say kiltahuma mujtahidatani. Mujtahida, singular, mujtahidatani, dual. It's permissible to treat it as though it is dual. Okay, the next point is point number five. We're going back to the, I'm sorry, point number four. Going back to the English key, point number four. Going back to English key, page 37, point number four. Let me look at the time, see how we're doing with time. Okay, we're good. Okay, point number four says, English key, page 37, you know that my book in Arabic is kitabi. Note that the ya has sukoon in kitabi, that's ya al-mutakallam. Yani the ya that corresponds with ana, first person singular pronoun. This is the possessive, first person singular pronoun. Ya al-mutakallam. Kitabi, my book. Note that the ya has sukoon. But it takes fatha, it takes a fatha, if it is preceded by an alif, if the ya al-mutakallam is preceded by an alif, or a sakin ya. So alif is already sakin, and if ya is sakin, either one of them, alif or ya, that has sukoon, if the ya al-mutakallam is preceded by an alif, or a ya with sukoon, for example, in bintaya, my two daughters, bintaya, or in ghasaltu rijlayya, I washed my two feet. In these two examples, bintaya and rijlayya, yani the ya al-mutakallam is preceded by, in the first case, binta is preceded by alif, which has sukoon. And in the second example, rijlayya, the ya al-mutakallam, yani there are two ya's here because of shadda, right? So the second one is ya al-mutakallam is preceded by what? Another ya. The shadda indicates two ya's. So the first ya, if it's shadda, the first doubled letter has to be sakin. So the first ya is sakin, and therefore ya al-mutakallam takes fatha. What is the rule here? Ya al-mutakallam, if it's attached to a word, and the last letter of that word is an alif, as in binta, or if it is a ya with sukoon, as in rijlay, then the ya al-mutakallam, which originally has sukoon, takes fatha. So what is the origin of the word bintaya? Yani the origin of this word bintaya is bintan, my two daughters, bintan. But because of idafa, we said what? That the dual word loses its noon. So bintan became binta. When you attached the ya al-mutakallam, the possessive, first person singular pronoun to it, that ya al-mutakallam now, which originally has sukoon, because it's preceded by alif with sukoon, the ya takes fatha. And the same thing with ghasaltu rijlayya. In this case, the origin of rijlayya is rijlayni and plus ya al-mutakallam. Rijlayni, yani the noon is deleted because of idafa, so it became rijlay, ya with sukoon, attached to ya al-mutakallam, which also has sukoon. So because of that, yani the ya al-mutakallam now takes a fatha to eliminate iltiqa sakinin. Alright, so binta ya was originally bintan ya. The noon is deleted because of idafa. The ya takes fatha because of iltiqa sakinin. Rijlayya is originally rijlayn, and ya al-mutakallam, because of idafa, the noon is deleted from rijlayn, it became rijlay, ya with sukoon, preceding ya al-mutakallam takes fatha. Okay, there's actually no explanation in the Arabic part of the book, but in exercise number 8, page 79, yani there's an exercise with this, applying this rule. And basically the exercise says adif al asma al atiya ila ya al mutakallim wadbut al ya bil shakl. Yani connect the following nouns. They gave you nouns: akhawani, ukhtani, abawani, sadiqani, and so on. Connect the following nouns to ya al mutakallim. The first person, singular pronoun, ya al mutakallim, corresponding to ana. Connect these following nouns, which are dual nouns. Okay? Connect them to ya al mutakallim, which is going to require you to delete their noon, which means that now they're going to end with alif. And whenever ya al mutakallim is connected to a word that ends with alif, you have iltiqa' sakinain, so the ya is going to take fatha. It says, connect the following nouns to ya al mutakallim. Wadbit al ya bi shakl. And make precise the ya al mutakallim with its voweling. Put the voweling on it. Ilman bi anna ya al mutakallim مفتوحةٌ ما اسمي آخر ما اسمي آخره ألف ألفٌ أو ياءٌ ساكنةٌ. Keeping in mind or knowing, يعني put the vowel on the ya المتكلم, knowing that ya المتكلم is going to be مفتوحة, it's going to take فتحة. ما اسم آخره ألفٌ, with any noun that it's ending, that it ends with ألف. If a noun ends with alif and you attach ya al-mutakallim to it, ya al-mutakallim is going to take fatha, or any word that ends with ya sakina, a ya that is has sukoon, a ya that has sukoon. If ya al-mutakallim is attached to ya with sukoon, a word that ends with ya with sukoon, ya al-mutakallim is going to take fatha. And they gave you exercise here, akhawani, deleting the noon, it became akhawaya. The noon is deleted, and ya al-mutakallim takes fatha. Ukhtani became ukhtaya, and abawani became abawaya, and so on. In the next exercise, they said, connect, yani exercise number 9 on the following pages, we're just taking a quick look at it. Adif al-kalimat allati tahtaha khat ila ya al-mutakallim wadbut al-ya bil-shakl. Yani connect the words which are underlined, which have a line, allati tahtaha khat إلى ياء المتكلم, connect them in إضافة ياء المتكلم, وضبط الياء بالشكل, and make the ياء المتكلم يعني exact or precise with its voweling. In these cases, we're going to see words that are dual, but in these cases, the words that are dual are going to be in the mansub form or mansub or majroor form, in which case, يعني the dual words, when they are mansub or majroor, they become like رجليني, عينيني, زميليني, يديني, okay? And so what happens is, when they are put in إضافة, the noon is deleted, so the end of the word عينيني is going to be عيني, صديقيني is going to be صديقي, ending with يا with سكون. If a word ends with يا with سكون and you attach يا المتكلم to it, يا المتكلم is going to take فتحة. So for example, they said غسلت الرجليني. If you connect ya al-mutakallim, you say ghasaltu rijlaini, became rijlaya, yani rijlaini loses its noon, it became rijlay, ya with sukoon, plus ya al-mutakallim here takes fatta, so it became, yani join the two ya's together, the ya with sukoon and ya al-mutakallim with fatta, became rijlaya, yani originally rijlaini became rijlay, plus ya al-mutakallim, yani the ya takes fatta, rijlaya. So here they gave you some examples to do with that, showing that any time a word ends with alif or ya sakina, if you attach ya al-mutakallim to it, then the ya al-mutakallim takes fatha. The ya al-mutakallim then takes fatha. Okay, after this we have exit point number 5 of the English key. We're still on page 37, point number 5, halfway down the page. It says the amra from ata ya'ati, the verb ata ya'ati. The fi'l amr from it is et. Et. How did we come up with this et from ata ya'ti? It should originally have been i'ti. Yani hamzatul wasl with kasra, and then the hamza of the verb itself, yani with sukoon. It should have been i'ti. But if two hamzas meet, the first having a vowel, yani as in i'ti, hamzatul wasl and hamzatul qat, the first one has kasra, the second one has sukoon. When two hamzas meet, the first having a vowel and the second having no vowel, The second hamza is omitted. It's deleted. And the vowel of the first one, the kasra, hamza til wasl, gets a compensatory lengthening. Because you deleted the second hamza, which had sukun, the first hamza with its vowel is elongated. Compulsory lengthening. So, hamza with fatha followed by hamza with sukun, a'a becomes a'a. And hamza with kasra followed by hamza with sukun becomes e. And hamza with dhamma followed by hamza with sukun becomes oo. And what happens? The second hamza, the one with sukun, is deleted, and the vowel of the first one is elongated in place of it. Yani in compensation for it. So a'a becomes a, and i' becomes e, and ur becomes oo. According to this rule, i'ti, yani the second hamza is deleted, the first one, hamza til wasl with his kasra, becomes elongated, so it became et. That's how we came up with et from ata ya'ati. In the construction of the fi'l amr, and we came with a hamza with a vowel followed by a hamza with sukun, and therefore the second hamza, the one with sukun, is deleted, and the first one, its vowel is elongated. That's how we got et. Now, but, goes on to say, but if the word is preceded by another word, the first hamza is omitted. Because hamza til wasl is there because there's no, you can't begin a word with sukun, right? So the first hamza is hamza til wasl. The second one has sukun. You can't begin a word with sukun, so we add hamza til wasl and we give it a vowel according to what is necessary in that situation. But now if there's a word before it, we don't need hamza til wasl anymore. That's what they're talking about here. But if the word is preceded by another word, the first hamza, the hamza til wasl, is omitted because it is hamza til wasl, and so we don't need it anymore. And the second hamza, the one that has sukun, returns, comes back. When we get rid of the first hamza, the second one comes back. Because there's no more meeting of two hamzas now. And the reason why we got rid of the second hamza, because we had two hamzas back to back. So we got rid of the second one, elongated the vowel of the first one. But now if there's something before that word, and we don't need hamza til wasl, we get rid of the hamza til wasl, and the second hamza comes back. Why? Because there's no more meaning of two hamzas now. So the amr now becomes, with a waw, the second hamza comes back, the first one is deleted, it becomes, for example, wa'ati. Instead of et, it became wa'ati. Or fa'ati. It should have been, yani, waw with fatta, then hamza til wasl with kasra, that hamza is deleted when you have a word before it. Should have been waw fatta, hamza til wasl with its vowel, and then the hamza of the original verb, ata ya'ati, with sukun. But when there's a word before, the hamza til wasl is deleted completely, so it became wa'ati, and it became fa'ati, with the hamza til wasl. Yani the hamza til wasl, yani it should have been written with hamza til wasl, but here, because there's a word before, and we don't need the hamza til wasl anymore, it is omitted. And the second hamza comes back, so the two alifs do not appear side by side. The hamza til wasl is deleted, so that the two alifs do not appear side by side. Okay, what's the rule here, Yani? The rule is, when you have two hamzas back to back, the first one has a vowel, the second one has sukun, the second one is deleted, and the first one, and its vowel is elongated. If there's something before that first one, the hamza til wasl, we don't need hamza til wasl anymore. The hamza til wasl is deleted, and the second one comes back. So, without anything before it, the fi'l amr from ata ya'ati is et. But if there's something before it, yani, the hamza til wasl is deleted, became wa'ati or fa'ati. This is also explained in Arabic. I hope that it's clear from the English. The Arabic says on page 84, exercise number 17, Al-Amra min ata ya'ati is et. Asluhu i'ti. Yani, hamzat al-wasl with kasra, hamzat al-qat with sukun. I'. So this i' becomes e, meaning the second hamza, the one with sukun, is deleted, and the first one, the hamzat al-wasl, is vowel, is elongated. Walakin, Al-Hamza al-Thaniya ta'udu ba'd al-waw al-fa. But if there's a particle like waw or fa before this fi'l amr, if there's a waw or fa before it, and we no longer need the Hamza til wasl. The Hamza til wasl is deleted, and the second Hamza, the one with sukoon that went away, now we bring it back. So it became wa'ati or fa'ati. ذلك لأن الحمزة الأولى في هذه الحالة تحذف في النطق. And that's because the first Hamza, the Hamza til wasl, is omitted in pronunciation. We don't pronounce it. We don't pronounce Hamza til wasl whenever there's something before it. So it's omitted in pronunciation, and therefore they omitted it in writing as well. لاحظ أن حمزة الأمر تحذف في كتابة أيضا. Notice that this Hamza of the fi'l amr, the Hamza til wasl, that's not pronounced when there's something before it, تحذف في الكتابة أيضا. It is also deleted in terms of writing. Not only we don't pronounce it here in this situation, but we also don't even write it. This is special to this word, yani the fi'l amr for أتى يأتي. Yani when there's a letter before it, like waw or fa, particle, the Hamza til wasl is no longer pronounced. So here in this case, to eliminate two Hamzas, two Alifs being written back to back, they eliminate it not only in pronunciation, but they also eliminate it in kitaba, in writing. So it became wa'ati and fa'ati. Alright, so what's the rule again? Yani, the fi'l amr from ata ya'ati, originally it should have been i'ati. But because the rule is when you have two Hamzas back to back, one with a vowel and the other one with sukoon, the second one with sukoon is deleted and the first one, and its vowel, whether it's kasra, fatta or dhamma, is elongated. So it became et. But this Hamza til wasl, if there's something before and we don't need it, it's not going to be pronounced. So also they said we're not going to write it. So it became wa'ati or fa'ati. Instead of et, it became the Hamza til wasl is deleted. The Hamza til qat comes back with its sukoon. Wa'ati, fa'ati. And then finally it says here, the meaning of this, the use of this word, ata means to come. But ata bi shay'in, to come with something, means ahdarahu, means you brought it with you. To ata bi shay means ahdarahu, you brought that thing. Taqulu, ما أتيت اليوم بدفتر النحو. I didn't come today with the notebook of Nahu, with my grammar notebook. Means I didn't come with it, I didn't bring it. ما أحضرته. I didn't bring it with me. وفي التنزيل, in Surah Al-Baqarah, and that which has been revealed, the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 258th ayat, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب. يعني إبراهيم عليه السلام, he said فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق. Indeed Allah comes with the sun from the east. يعني Allah brings the sun to rise up in the east. فَأَتِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. So you now bring it, cause it to come up from the west. Allah brings it from the east. You, if you have control over everything, then make it come up from the west. Here the shahid in this ayat is what? فَأَتِ. Yani, we said, E-T is the fil amr, but if there's something before it, the Hamza til wasl is deleted in pronunciation and in writing. The Hamza til qat, the second one comes back again, it became fa'ati. Fa'ati biha means bring it. Bring it. Cause it to come, to be present, to rise up from the west. Qala dhalika linamrud. Yani Ibrahim said this to the oppressive mushrik king Nimrod. Nimrud. Okay, this is the end of the Arabic explanations. There's one point remaining in English, but there's no Arabic explanation for it. So we'll just look at that quickly on the bottom of page 37. It says point number 6 of the English key. You have learned in book 2, lesson 26, that ha huwa tha. Yani this is the ism ishara ha tha, and the dhamir pronoun huwa. Ha tha huwa. Yani, the pronoun is placed in between the ism ishara ha tha, became ha huwa tha. We learned in book 2, lesson 26, that this means here it is, or here he is. Ha huwa tha. Ha tha huwa. Here he is, or here it is. Its dual form is ha huma thani. Ha huma thani. Here are the two of them. Here they are, the two of them. Yani, this is composed of what? The pronoun huma being put in between the ism ishara hadhani, the dual of hadha, hadhani. Hadhani, ha humadhani. Its feminine is ha humatani. Ha humatani, meaning hatani, the dual of yani hadhihi. Hatani, with the pronoun huma in between them, hatani became ha humatani. The masculine plural form is ha hum ula'i. Yani, the pronoun hum in between the ism ishara ha ula'i. Ha ula'i divided by hum became ha hum ula'i. And the feminine plural form is ha hunna ula'i. Yani, ha ula'i separated by the feminine third person plural pronoun hunna. Yani, ha ula'i separated by hunna, ha hunna ula'i. And then they give us yani the other forms, possible forms, yani ha huwa tha, yani aina bilal, where's bilal? Ha huwa tha, here he is, yani, which is the combination of ha tha and huwa. Ha huma thani, aina bilal wa hamidun, where are bilal and hamid? Ha huma thani, the combination of hadhani, the dual of hadha, hadhani, and the pronoun huma. Hadhani and the pronoun huma become ha huma thani. Then we have the third person, the masculine plural, ha ula'i plus hum, yani ha hum ula'i. Aina bilalun wa akhawahu. Where is Bilal and his two brothers? Akhawa is the yani original form of it is akhawan, but when it's used as a mudaf, it loses the noon, it became akhawahu. Where's Bilal and his two brothers? Here they are. Ha hum ula'i. Yani, ha ula'i plus the pronoun hum. As far as the feminine forms, we have aina maryamu. Where's Maryam? Ha hiya thi. Here she is. Yani, being composed of ha thihi plus the pronoun hiya. As far as the dual, aina maryamu wa aminatu, where's Maryam and Amina? Here they are, ha humatani, yani being composed of the hatani, the dual hatani, and the dual pronoun huma, yani hatani being the dual of hadhihi, hatani. Ha humatani is hatani plus huma. And the third person, feminine plural, aina maryamu wa ukhtaha, where's Maryam and her two sisters? Yani, ukhtaha is originally ukhtani, as a mudaf, he loses his noon, so ukhtani became ukhtaha. Where's Maryam and her two sisters? Here they are, ha hunna ula'i. Yani, this is ha ula'i, the plural ism ishara, with hunna, the third person feminine plural pronoun. Ha ula'i plus hunna became ha, hunna ula'i. And then we have the first persons, yani masculine, you have, where's Ibrahim? Yani, aina Ibrahimu? Here I am. Ha ana tha. Yani, ha tha plus the pronoun, first person singular, ana. Ha ana tha. Here I am. Aina Ibrahimu wa zumala'uhu, where's Ibrahim and his classmates, plural. Ha nahnu ula'i, here we are, yani ha ula'i, the plural ism ishara, with nahnu, the plural first person pronoun, nahnu. Ha ula'i and nahnu, ha nahnu ula'i. And then for the feminine, singular and plural, we have aina Fatima. Aina Fatima, where's Fatima? Ha ana thi, here I am. yani being composed of hadhihi and ana, yani hadhihi and ana, ha ana, the plural. Aina Fatimatu wa zamilatuha, where's Fatima and her classmates? Here we are, ha nahnu ula'i, yani here we are, yani being composed of ha ula'i and the first person plural pronoun nahnu. Here we are, yani ha'ula'i nahnu, yani ha nahnu ula'i, here we are. So these are just different forms of the of what we, you know, the what we were introduced to previously, showing you how the singular and the duals and the plurals and the masculine and feminine ism ishara are combined with the personal pronouns. And this is the end of lesson 9, and we also had for today lesson 10. Let's see how the time looks right now. Okay, we still have 15 minutes, not a lot of time. I don't know, let's try, let's see, without rushing. Let's see, there are only 2 points in this lesson, so perhaps we can cover it. Okay, lesson 10, the English key on page 39, types of Arabic sentences. Point number one is types of Arabic sentences, 39 to 41, and the Arabic explanation is in exercise number 2 on page 85. So let's just look at that first. That's the core of this lesson. In English it says, in this lesson we learn the following. Point number one, types of Arabic sentence. You have already learned in book 2, lesson 1, that there are 2 types of sentences in Arabic. The nominal sentence, al-jumla ismiya, and the verbal sentence, al-jumla al-fi'liya. The nominal sentence commences with a noun. That's why it's called nominal sentence. And it commences with a ism. That's why it's called al-jumla ismiya. Like, al-baytu jamilun, the house is beautiful. Whereas the verbal sentence begins with a verb, yani a fi'l, that's why it's called jumla fi'liya, as dakhala al-mudarrisu, the teacher has entered. So these are the 2 types of sentence. Jumla ismiya begins with a ism, a noun. Jumla fi'liya begins with a fi'l, a verb. Here are some more details about the 2 types. The nominal sentence, for example, the beginning of the nominal sentence is one of the following. Either a noun or a pronoun, as in hadhihi madrasatun, begins with a pronoun, ism ishara. Ana mujtahidun, personal pronoun. Or Allahu ghafurun, yani a proper noun. So, the nominal sentence begins with one of the following 3 things. Either it begins with a noun or pronoun. Or, number 2, on the next page, it says, page 40, a masdar mu'awwal. Yani al-masdar al-mu'awwal. That is a clause functioning as a masdar. A clause functioning as a masdar. For example, antasumu khayrun lakum. And that you fast is better for you. Here the clause antasumu, this clause, yani the particle n and the mudari verb tasumu, are functioning as a masdar, an infinitive, as it actually means, and tasumu means as saumu, or saumukum, fasting. So here, the second way that a nominal sentence may begin, it may begin with a noun or a pronoun, it may also begin with a masdar mu'awwal, which is not a noun, but it functions as a masdar. And tasumu functions as, yani a masdar, the masdar as saum. So the nominal sentence begins with a noun or a pronoun, also may begin with a masdar mu'awwal, and C, a particle resembling a verb. It may begin with a particle resembling a verb, like inna wa akhawatuha, inna Allah ghafur rahim, indeed Allah is forgiving, merciful. The particles resembling the verb, what is meant by a particle resembling a verb? Al-huruf al-mushabbahatu bil-fi'li, they are inna and its sisters. Inna wa anna wa ka'anna wa layta wa la'alla wa lakinna. So the 3 things that a nominal sentence may begin with, either it begins with a noun or pronoun, or begins with a masdar mu'awwal, which functions like a masdar, or begins with a particle resembling a verb, that is, one of these 6 things, inna, or any of its akhawat. Inna wa anna wa ka'anna, and so on. As far as the verbal sentence, the details concerning the verbal sentence is that the beginning of the verbal sentence is one of the following. Yani the nominal sentence begins with one of three things. The verbal sentence begins with one of two things. The verbal sentence begins with one of the following. A, a complete verb, or B, an incomplete verb. So A complete verb means al-fi'lu at-tamu. And an incomplete verb means al-fi'lu an-naqisu. Al-fi'lu at-tam, for example, talat ash-shamsu, the sun rose. This is the, yani, al-fi'lu at-tam is the verb which suffices with a fa'il. Yani, talat, it only needs a fa'il, ash-shamsu, the one who does its action, and the meaning is completed. As opposed to, yani, a complete verb is one that needs a fa'il. Like dakhala, kharaja, tama, jalasa, these are complete verbs. All they need is a fa'il to complete the sentence. Dakhala al-mudarrisu, kharaja al-talibu, nama al-rajulu, jalasa, yani al-waladu. All it needs is a fa'il to complete its meaning. That's a fi'il tam. It's a complete verb. All it needs is the one who's doing its action. B, an incomplete verb, al-fi'il al-naqis, for example, kana al-jawu baridan. It's not sufficient to say kana al-jawu, the weather was. But rather, it requires another word that's going to be mansub to complete its meaning. Kana al-jawu baridan. The weather was cold. So, the incomplete verb is like kana and its akhawat. Kana and akhawatu. It is a verb that doesn't suffice just to have a noun that's marfu'un. You can't say kana al-jawu. The weather was. But rather, it needs an ism that's mansub, another noun that's going to be mansub to complete its meaning. It's going to need a noun that's mansub to complete its meaning. If you turn to the next page, it says, an incomplete verb is one that needs an ism, yani marfu'un, and a khabar that's going to be mansubun, like sara al-ma'u faljan, water became ice, water became ice. Here I just want to go to the Arabic explanation of this, even if we don't do the next point. But the Arabic explanation on page 85, exercise number 2, it says, Al-jumla imma ismiya wa imma fi'liya. The sentence is either ismiya, a nominal sentence, or a fi'liya, a verbal sentence. And then they explain each of them and the conditions in which they, what they begin with. So, al-jumla tu al-ismiya tu hiya allati sadaruha. The jumla ismi is the one that begins with either one of three things. Ismun sarihun, a clear noun or pronoun, like Allahu ghafurun, or hadihi madrasatun, or ana mujtahidun. Yani Allahu ghafurun, that's a clear noun. Hadihi is ism ishara, ana is a damiya. So a jumla ismi begins with a noun, a clear noun, ism ishara, demonstrative pronoun, personal pronoun, and so on. The second thing it begins with is a masdar mu'awwal, like wa an tasumu khayrun lakum. Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 184th ayah. In this sentence, wa an tasumu taqdiruhu is understood to mean what? Siyamukum. As-siyam wa siyamukum khayrun lakum. Yani fasting, or you fasting, is better for you. So the masdar mu'awwal can be converted to a masdar, and therefore a masdar mu'awwal can take the place of a masdar and therefore begin a nominal sentence. The third thing that a nominal sentence may begin with is harfun mushabbahun bilfi'l, yani a particle that resembles a verb in that it acts upon the noun that follows it like a verb does. Yani inna allaha changes Allahu to Allah. Inna allaha ghafur rahim. Al-ahruf al-mushabbahatu bilfi'l, the particles that resemble a fi'l, they are inna wa akhawatuha. So three things. The jumla ismiya begins with ism sari, master mu'awwal, harf mushabbahun bil fi'l. Wal jumla al fi'liya hiya allati sadaruha. The jumla fi'liya is the one that its beginning is one of two things. Fi'l tam or fi'l naqis. Fi'l tam, a complete verb, like tala'ati ash-shamsu. The sun rose. Yani it's a verb that only needs a fa'il, the doer of the action, to complete its meaning. Fi'l naqis, nahwa, kana al-jawu baridan, yani the weather was cold. Here, this type of verb, the incomplete verb, it requires a ism marfu'un, it's ism, and a ism mansub, yani it's khabar. It requires a ism, yani that's going to be marfu'un, and it also requires a ism that's going to be mansub in order to complete its meaning. Yani the complete verb, all it requires is a fa'il, a ism, that's going to be marfu'un, the fa'il, but the naqis verb requires a ism marfu'un and a ism mansub. Af'al and naqisa, yani the incomplete verbs are kana wa akhawatuha. Yani kana wa asbaha wa adha wa amsa, yani bata, sara, laysa, and so on. Then they give us a chart here of the sentences. Al-jumla ismiya. First example is a noun or pronoun, Allahu ghafurun. Second example, masdar mu'awwal, and tasumu khayrun lakum. The third example, a harf mushabbaha bil fi'l. Inna Allah ghafur rahim. As far as the jumla fi'liya, there are two types. The first one they gave us is tala'at ash-shamsu. Yani it's a jumla begins with a complete verb that only requires a fa'il. The second and third examples, ba and jim, are an incomplete verb that requires two nouns. A noun, the ism and the khabar. The noun that's marfu'un and the noun that's mansub. Kan al-jaw baridan. You can't just say kan al-jaw, but it requires the khabar. Baridan, that's mansub. Or kan Allahu ghafur rahima. Yani, Allah is forgiving and merciful. Yani, you can't just say kan Allahu. Allah was or is. But rather, it has to have a khabar that's mansub. And kana wa akhawatuha we studied in book 2, I think lesson 25. I'm not exactly sure, but I think lesson 25. So please go back to that if necessary. And then, okay, that's the end of this point. And what remains, honey, we can finish because there's not much remaining really, right? Okay, so what remains is point number 2 of the English key on page 41. Yani tafiqa. Tafiqa bilalun yaktubu. Bilal began to write. Tafiqa is an incomplete verb, like kana wa akhawatu. It's an incomplete verb. In this sentence, but it's a little bit different, yani, because it's from yani a different group of verbs, but they function similar. In this sentence, Bilal is the ism of tafiqa. And the sentence yaktubu is its khabar. The verb in the khabar should be mudari. The verbs akhada and ja'ala also used in the same way as tafiqa and with the same meaning as tafiqa, yani meaning to begin to do something. These are verbs that all have the meaning of to begin to do something. They are known as af'al ash-shuru', yani meaning to begin to do something. They indicate that somebody began to do something. They act like kana, except that they have a ism that's marfu'un, but their khabar is going to be a jumla fi'liya, and its fi'l is going to be a mudari. The khabar is going to be a jumla fi'liya, whose fi'l is a mudari, and they don't use an al-masdariya. Alright, so you say, akhada al-mudarrisu yashra al-dars, the teacher began. Akhada means the teacher began explaining the lesson. Or, ja'altu akilu, I began, ja'ala means to begin. Ja'altu, I began, akula, to eat. So you see that the khabar, akhada al-mudarrisu, yashrahu, the khabar is a jumla fi'liya, and its fi'l is mudari. Ja'altu akil, yani the khabar is akilu, it's a jumla fi'liya, and its khabar, and its fi'l is a mudari. Here the pronoun tu in ja'altu is the ism, and the sentence akilu is the khabar. In the Arabic text, the explanation of this is very brief. It says on page 86 of the Arabic part, exercise number 3, tafiqa yafa'alu kadha, I began to do such and such. The same meaning, ja'ala yafa'alu kadha. Ja'ala has the same meaning as tafiqa. Or akhada yafa'alu kadha. He began to do such and such. Yani akhada yafa'alu kadha, ja'ala yafa'alu kadha, tafiqa yafa'alu kadha, all the mean he began to do something, yani a shara'a bifi'li, he began to do something. Shara'a means to begin, just like ja'ala akhada tafiqa, shara'a means to begin to do something. هذه الأفعال الثلاثة يعني تفق جعل أن أخذ, these three verbs تعمل عمل كان, they do the same thing like كان does, إلا أن, except And if they have a ism, that's going to be marfoon, and they have a khabar as well, except that the khabar yajibu ayyakuna jumlatan fi'liyatan fi'luha mudari'un. And the difference between these verbs and kana wa akhawatuha is that they're going to have an ism that's going to be marfu'un, but their khabar, illa anna khabaraha, their khabar, their predicate, yajibu ayyakuna jumlatan fi'liyatan. The khabar must be a jumla fi'liya, fi'luha mudari'un, and its fi'l of that jumla fi'liya must be a mudari verb, and also they're not accompanied by an al-masdariya. Yani, you won't say akhadha an yaf'ala. You just say akhadha yaf'al. Like the example that they gave us, right, is the example they gave us is tafiqa bilalun yaktubu. You don't say tafiqa bilalun an yaktub without an al-masdariya. The khabar is going to be a jumla fi'liya. Its fi'l is going to be a mudari verb, and it's not going to be accompanied by an. This is what we intended to cover today. Alhamdulillah. Next week, inshallah, we're going to continue the review with lesson number 11 or whatever comes. You know, whatever comes after that, you can start reviewing it. I'll send out the homework assignment tomorrow, bi'idhnillah, as early as possible. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for all of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, reward, and record our good deeds, that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He keep us firm and steadfast upon a sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him, and that He pardon, that He grant a return to good health for those of us who are sick, and that He pardon and forgive those who have passed away. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.